seeking the gracious help of the Lord, I'd venture to speak to you this morning from a verse found in our reading, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9 and verse 3. The Acts of the Apostles, the 9th chapter and the 3rd verse. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. This verse speaks in the first place of the Lord's sovereign, gracious dealings with Saul of Tarsus. But in measure, it speaks of the Lord's sovereign and gracious dealings with each one of his dear people. Can it be said of us that as we journeyed, there shined round about us a light from heaven? It will be so if we are found amongst the people of God. It must be so. He who commanded the light to shine out of darkness will shine in the hearts of each one of his dear people. But the first few words seem to me to be exceeding solemn, and especially in the circumstances in which we meet, which I knew nothing of till I came into the vestry this morning. As he journeyed, each one of us are on a journey, on a journey. We are travelling on. We are not static, as it were, but the very days and months and years that go past testify that we are on a journey. We are moving forward. May not feel to be. And as we are young, the days of our youth, days seem to go past very slowly. But as we've got older, the days and weeks and months seem to go past faster. Years suddenly have disappeared and they've gone into eternity. No more to be lived again. And every day that we live is one day that we have more that we have lived, but one day less that we shall live. Every journey has a beginning and it also has an end. And the end shall come. The end of the journey. Ah, we know not when the end shall be. God has wisely hidden it from us. But this we are sure, that there is an end. There is an end. Indeed, the very earth on which we stand has an end. The end of all things is at hand. It is at hand. Men say, where is the promise of his coming? They really do not know that the long-suffering patience of God is long-suffering mercy to his people. But sooner or later, this earth shall be done with. It will have no more purpose. This earth is here for one purpose only, that God might call by grace each one of his elect, put his fear within their hearts, lead them by his Spirit unto Christ. Assure them that they are born of God and that their treasure is above. And when that work of grace is complete in each one of God's elect, there's no need of the earth. It will have fulfilled its purpose. And the end shall come. The angel shall descend and declare that time shall be no more. And then it shall be eternity for every one of mankind. Now you here have been reminded of the end of the journey and constantly are reminded every day there are thousands upon thousands ushered into eternity. Generations that have gone past, some that we have known years ago, have long been in their graves. Very few left that were alive in the 19th century, very few indeed. And soon they will all be gone. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away. They fly, forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day. And there'll be an end for you and an end for me, an end of the journey. We're not here forever. It is not our rest. It is polluted, saith God. Now, do we know it is polluted? And do we know that we are but passing through this veil of sorrows and tears? Well, is it a veil of sorrows and tears to us? It's not by nature. This is our rest. This is our home by nature. We're glad to be upon the earth. Well, there are many good things in the earth. Oh, the beauties of creation, they're truly wonderful. The sun which the Lord has placed in the heavens to shine upon us. We see its glory. What a glory it has. And the glory of creation. Many wonderful things. Many good things the Lord has given to us. Our health and strength. Our families, loved ones. Our homes. Many things we do not deserve, any of these mercies whatsoever. But we're accountable to God for them. We're answerable to Him for them. How we use these favours. And we shall suddenly appear, soon we shall appear, before the judgment seat of Christ. And we shall have to give an account of all the things that we've ever said and done and thought, and how we have used the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. Our health and the strength, our time, our money, what we have been given in many respects. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out of it. What have we that we have not received? How have we used these things? These are solemn thoughts, but we ought to consider them more, and so much more as we see the day approaching. Every day, every night, when we lay our heads down on our pillows, it's one less day, one less. We are journeying. Now we are surrounded by many mercies, and we would render thanks unto God for them. Let us never let His mercies lie forgotten in unthankfulness, and without praises die. That we're yet out of a deserved hell, that we've not been cast out of His sight, that we've not been cut down as cumbers of the ground. It is yet the day of grace. Yet the door of God's mercy stands open all day to the poor and to the needy who knock by the way. But oh, the Lord make us wise to consider our latter end. Well, Saul of Tarsus, he was a Jew by nature. He was brought up under the feet of Gamaliel. He heard the word of God read to him and explained. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, and was very zealous for the truth, and he rejoiced in that which he was taught, and his upbringing, and his supposed righteousness, and he journeyed in it. But it pleased Almighty God, at a set time, and at a set place, as we have in our text, suddenly to shine round about him a light from heaven. A light that he had not seen before, that he had not experienced before, but it came from above. Now all that Saul of Tarsus possessed until this point of time was from the earth. Of the earth earthy he was. Though he be in a form of religion, though he be very zealous in that form of religion, and though he had the truth, the Old Testament scriptures, which he loved with a natural heart, he was devoid of this light. He was devoid of the truth in his heart. He was devoid of a knowledge of the way of salvation, though he was blessed with the means. The means weren't blessed to him. Now let us search and examine our hearts. We're favoured to be found amongst the people of God. We're favoured to hear the word of God preached to us. We're favoured to be able to read it together and in private too. And these are great blessings. Many do not have these privileges. There are some who are unable to gather for various reasons, and some in distant lands who do not yet have the word of God in their own tongue. We are accountable for these things. Now it pleases Almighty God that he calls by grace sinners who are on the road to hell, like Saul of Tarsus, in that broad way which leadeth to destruction. And that is a broad way which encompasses many strands of opinion. Yes, Saul of Tarsus was in it, very religious, very zealous, apparently, for God, as well as those in the vilest wickedness. It encompasses all extremes. And such were some of you, such were some of you. Yea, but he decreed the very place where he would show triumphant grace. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined a light from heaven. Now notice this, it came from heaven. It didn't spring from the earth. And all true religion does not spring from the earth. It comes from heaven. That which is of the earth is earthly, and it is dying, decaying, and dead. But that which comes from heaven is living, and it is eternal. And it shall abide forevermore. The earth by nature was without form, and it was void, empty. Chaos, darkness upon the face of the deep. But God spake in that first day, let there be light, and there was light. And then it could be seen what chaos, what darkness there was upon the earth. And this happened spiritually to Saul of Tarsus. Suddenly there shined a light round about him from heaven. Until then he was dead in trespasses and in sins, and he knew not that he was a vile and wretched sinner in God's sight. He had all righteousness, he thought himself, and pleased he was with it too. And such were some of you, until the light shined from heaven. The Lord commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And it didn't only shine round about him, but it shined in his very heart. And just like the light that was in the first day, it revealed darkness and a great void. So it appeared to Saul of Tarsus. Now has that light shone in your heart? It was a sudden light for Saul of Tarsus. Suddenly, it was exposed to his sight. All that blackness and vileness and sin against a holy God. A light that revealed God in his holiness and purity and righteousness. And a light that revealed his unholiness and his unrighteousness and his guilt. It revealed his ignorance too. Why his first cry then was, who art thou, Lord? Before that, Saul of Tarsus would have confidently said he was speaking for God, that he knew God, but he knew him not. Because until this point he was dead in trespasses and sins, and the dead know not anything. The spiritually dead know not anything spiritually. They see nothing, they hear nothing, they feel nothing. Still less can they walk or do anything. And such were some of you. But when the light shone, oh, how different. Now the Lord is sovereign in the way that he shines in his people. In some parts of the earth, the day rises very quickly and the light comes very suddenly. In other parts of the earth, the dawn is more gradual. And there is a little light at first. And it increases more and more. And the Lord rises like that. The Son of Righteousness arises like that sometimes in the hearts of his people. You may wonder and be cast down very much when you hear of others who have a sudden revelation, sudden light shines, and suddenly they are cut down in this light. It's the same sun that rises on the equator suddenly, as rises in the poles more gradually. It's the same sun. It's the same light. It's the same light that God put in the heavens. And it's the same light of God that shines in sinners' hearts at the set time he has set to favour them. It's the same light. It's the same sun that shines upon the earth and reveals things. Now it may trouble you that a little light only apparently has shone upon you. But what has it shined? What has it revealed? If it has revealed your darkness, if it has shown you something of your sin, your trespasses against God, that you have sinned against his goodness, all this goodness he has bestowed upon you these many years, and yet you've trampled underfoot all his mercies. You've forgotten God. He's not been in your thoughts. You've not committed your way unto him. And he's brought you into distress. He's brought trouble upon you. He's brought darkness in your heart. Then you may be sure of it. Light has shone. You may be sure of it. Who taught you that you were in darkness? Who taught you that sin lieth at the door? Who taught you that God was holy? You've been taught, no doubt, from your youth that you were a sinner, that you sinned against God. Perhaps you told an untruth, and you felt guilty because you've been found out that you had told an untruth. But other than troubling you because you were found out before men, that was as far as it went. But now, God has revealed sin within. And it's not so much your reputation amongst men, but how you stand before a holy God. And you feel your ignorance, like Saul of Tarsus, who art thou, Lord? The God that you've heard of, the Lord Jesus that's been preached to you, you don't feel to know. But you're not content to be like that, to remain like that. Is it not a calling out, as it were, from the heart, who art thou, Lord? To know Jesus. To have the truth of the gospel revealed unto you. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined. The dawning has begun. Light is shining. It reveals what there is within. It reveals God's holiness. Now in this light, Saul was in darkness, and that's a paradox really, but those who know it will testify to it. When the light comes, it reveals darkness. And Saul of Tarsus' eyes were closed under a sense of the glory of this light. The glory of God had been revealed. Moreover, he was humbled in this light. He fell down to the earth, his face as it were in the dust. And no more was he going his own way. He couldn't see the way. He couldn't know the way. He had to be led by the hand. There's such a change being wrought in your heart. We know not the way. How can we know the way, you say? I feel to be, as it were, of the earth earthy. I feel that, as it were, in the dust. I know not the way that I should take. I cannot see the way to eternal life. I cannot see how it could be possible that such a sinner as I could ever be saved. Well, under this light, Saul in the dust, upon the earth, who saw no man, but felt his darkness, was led by the hand. As he journeyed, there shined round about him a light from heaven. All the beginning of that work of grace manifest in him. But why was it? Why was it begun here? Why was it begun at such a place? Was not the beginning God's eternal counsel? No, this man, this Saul of Tarsus, had been loved with an everlasting love. And the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in eternal covenant had promised, had agreed, had ordained to bless this man there, to begin that work within him there. The Father had chosen him in eternity past. Though he be such a sinner, though he should persecute the church of God in the days of his unregeneracy. Yes, for such a one was chosen in eternal love. And for such a one, Christ agreed to suffer and to bleed and to die. And for such a one, the God, the Holy Spirit, agreed in covenant to come and quicken into life and to shine upon him and at length to lead him in the truth and to reveal unto him a precious Christ to show him the way of salvation. But here is the first work. Here is the manifestation of that work. Here is the manifestation of that love. Light shined upon him from heaven, light from above. Saul was brought to see something of his sin and guilt before a holy God, and to tremble at it, and to confess his ignorance. Who art thou, Lord? The second prayer, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? How different now. How different now. Our Saul was going his own way. He was the one that desired letters of the chief priest. He was the one that had the zeal. He knew what he would do. Not now. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He was of his own strength and wisdom spoiled. And the work of grace will do this in your heart. It will bring you in humble before God. It will bring you to nothing in yourself. It's, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Your desire that he might grant you wisdom from above, that he might show you the way wherein you must go. Blessed be God, he does so. The work that he begins, he never forsakes. He that hath begun a good work in you, Paul testified later, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. But the first light is this, to reveal sin, to show guilt. Yea, under a sense of this light that came from heaven. The law of God, the holy law of God, was applied to his heart and to his conscience. And we see this even in the picture of creation. It just comes to mind. When God said, let there be light, and there was light, there was revealed the darkness of the earth. And then God commanded that there be a firmament, a space, as it were, between heaven and the earth. And Saul of Tarsus felt that spiritually. Oh, what a distance there is between a holy, heart-searching God and a poor sinner upon the earth. What a void. Who can make up that void? Is there any way that void can be bridged? Not in the earth, but the light that shines from heaven reveals the void. The shortcomings under the holy law. The breaches of the law that you have committed. The transgressions that you have committed, that which you've done, which you ought not to have done, the things which you ought to have done, you have not done, and you come in guilty. Well, this is the purpose of God's holy law. By the law is the knowledge of sin. That is why God gave the law, why it was added in due time, because of transgressions, that his Israel might have their transgressions revealed unto them. That they might know what sin is, and that it might grieve them. A broken law. Israel said that they would keep the word of God. They agreed with God that they would do so. They were under no obligation to do so, but they said, whatever God said, we shall do it. They promised before a holy God at Mount Sinai. And God then gave his law, and they found they couldn't keep it. Before Moses could bring down the tables of stone from the mount, they'd already broken those commandments, and they were bowing down to the golden calf. And when the light from heaven has shone in your heart, and that law has been brought to your heart and conscience, can you keep it? You may strive to. You may strive to, you will do. Or you'll try to please God as you're best able. But you find the more that you strive against it, the less you can keep it. And though you may be able to, as in measure, keep the outside clean, as it were, you'll feel the filth within, for the law is spiritual. It's not just the outward deeds that it condemns, but the inward thoughts and intents of the heart, the motives. And it finds out that There is nothing, no good thing dwelling in your flesh, that you cannot produce even one good thought, let alone a good word or deed, to please God. But even if you could, what about those sins that were past? There is no hope there. But who taught you that you'd sinned against God and sinned against the Lord, and you'd come short of his glory? Is it not because of the light that has shone? Suddenly, there shined round about him a light from heaven. As that firmament, that gap, that great breach, that great gulf have been revealed unto you, how short you've come. Well, in God's perfect creation, next there was fruit brought forth. Next there was fruit brought forth. On that third day, upon the land there came herbs and trees, bearing all manner of fruit. You say, surely, there's no fruit under this teaching. Oh, yes, there is. Oh, yes, there is. You see, when the sinner is brought like Saul of Tarsus, to have no hope in the flesh, no hope in the law. Here he sat in Damascus, in that house, 3 days in darkness, without sight, neither to eat nor drink. There was fruit brought forth. Why? God testified to Ananias, behold, he prayeth. Who taught Saul of Tarsus to pray? You say, well, he prayed many times, like the Pharisees would have done in the temple and on the street corners. Oh, I've no doubt Saul of Tarsus uttered many, many speeches apparently in prayer. But now he prayeth. Now he prayeth in secret, in darkness. He prayeth as a guilty sinner before God. Cut down, slain, killed by the law, killed by the commandment. But behold, he prayed. There's fruit brought forth, there's the herbs of the earth. There was that woman whom the Pharisees said, oh, she was a sinner. This man knew what sort of woman she was. He would have nothing to do with her, for she is a sinner. That woman was slain under the law. She had been brought in guilty. She had indeed. Simon the Pharisee was not guilty in himself. The law had not come to him. Light had not shone in his heart. But he could tell that woman was a sinner. Well, there were two people in that room who knew she was a sinner, more than Simon did. One was the Lord Jesus. He knew all about her. He'd known her from eternity. But so did the woman. She knew she was a sinner. And I'll see the fruit brought forth, see the herbs of the earth, the bitter herbs, maybe. Oh, how she mourned because of her sin. How she mourned, how she wept. And have you mourned over your sins and after God? Oh, she mourned over her sins, but she mourned after Christ also. Because light has shone in her heart, not only to reveal her sin, but Jesus had been revealed unto her. Oh, afar off maybe. But the Holy Spirit had shone in her heart. And she'd heard of Jesus. And she heard where he was. Oh, and in such a need that she had, in all her guilt, and in spite of all her fears, she must come and be found at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And there she wept at his feet. She poured out her heart in secret before him. She told him all the truth, all the guilt she felt with him, all the vileness. Light had shone in her heart because there was none other that could help her, none other that could save her. Oh, she did not know whether he would, but she knew that he could. And she saw by faith what he'd come to do, that he'd come to suffer and to bleed, and to bear upon him the iniquity of the whole church of God. She did not know for a certainty that her sins had been laid upon him, but she hoped they might be. And she had no other place to go. The Pharisee could not help her, the law could not help her. But by faith she came. She knew, like the hymn writer, none but Jesus could do helpless sinners good. And so she must come. She was drawn there. To whom else can we go, says Peter, thou hast the words of eternal life. And so the woman must come in spite of all the opposition, in spite of what Simon said against her. Well, says the Lord Jesus to Simon, a parable which ends like this. He spoke of the two debtors, one owing more than the other. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me which of them shall love him the most. I suppose he to whom more was forgiven, that was rightly judged. Ah, who is forgiven much, they love much. Now this woman, she loved much. She loved much. Christ was so precious to her in the want of him. She loved him. Oh, she was not assured yet of his love for her. But oh, how she needed him, how she was drawn to him. And how that faith was given to her, that she knew that Christ must suffer, and that he was the only one who could bear away the sin of guilty people. And a hope was raised up in her heart, who can tell, he might be gracious even unto me. Faith was given, repentance, contrition granted, both from above. Light has shone in her heart, and she desired Christ. Oh, the fruit was brought forth. The fruit was brought forth. Repentance, faith, love in her heart. Now Saul of Tarsus, the time came when one of the Lord's servants was sent unto him, set him at liberty under the word, was preached to him. And that dear woman, the word of the gospel was preached unto her. Thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven thee. He was preached unto Saul, Brother Saul, child of God, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus appeared unto thee. That's who it was. None other but the Saviour of sinners. He sent me unto thee, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Suddenly, as it were, light shone upon Saul of Tarsus there. The scales were removed from his eyes, and he saw. The woman, when it was spoken unto her, thy sins which are many are all forgiven thee. Oh, how light shone. Oh, what light shone. And here we come to the fourth day of creation. Then the sun was given in the heavens, then the moon to shine by night. Not till then. After the fruit of the earth came forth, after those herbs came, then there were light from heaven, then the sun arose. Suddenly, light shone from heaven. You know, the Lord will set a very place on the journey where he will shine from heaven into a sinner's heart, mourning over their sin. Or with a contrite heart and broken. That's God's sacrifice. That's God's doing. That's his Spirit's doing. And he has set a time when he will shine, when he will bring forgiveness. He has been exalted a prince and a saviour. To give repentance unto Israel, or to make them mourn for their sin, to mourn over him, to turn from their evil ways, to turn unto him. He is exalted to give repentance unto Israel, and, no full stop, and he who has given repentance, he will also give remission of sins in his set time and way. He will appoint the place where it will be conveyed unto you. Where you'll speak unto your very soul, there'll be a voice from heaven, that all thy sins, which are so many, are all forgiven thee. That thou mayest know that God, the Son of Man, hath power on earth to forgive sins. All power is given unto me in heaven and on the earth. All there'll be a sudden light shining. All that great burden will be removed. There'll be peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He has made up that vast breach. He has brought the sinner nigh by shedding his precious blood, by offering his soul an offering for sin in which God is well pleased and satisfied. The dazed man found a ransom. Deliver him from going down to the pit. I have died for him. I have saved him by my grace. I have taken his sins. They have been laid upon me, and I have removed them as far as the east is from the west. Such is our God, such is the Saviour of sinners, such is the light which shines from heaven at the appointed time. Now Saul of Tarsus was assured of the forgiveness of his sins in but a few days. And it sometimes pleases the Lord to do so, but not always. And some of us will be many years in darkness till we heard the voice of forgiveness. And some may wait many, many, many long years. Many long years. There was a woman bound by Satan these 18 years. But when she came that day, at the 18 years, she was loosed and set at liberty. The man of Bethesda's pool had to wait 38 years, waiting for a man or an angel. Oh, but when Christ came, after those long 38 years, he needed no man, no angel, no pool of Bethesda. It was Christ and Christ alone. And he took up his bed and walked. And they shall not wait in vain that wait for me. They shall not be ashamed. Simeon, taught by the Spirit, he should not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ, was not disappointed. And though he'd be a great age, when he came by the Spirit into the temple at that appointed time, then he saw Christ, and then he took him up in his arms, held him, as it were, to his breast. He embraced him. All his hope was here, all his salvation in this one whom God sent. Now, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Suddenly, as it were, a light shined from heaven round about him. He was set at liberty. He was willing to depart. Willing to depart. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. But you know, I believe many of the Lord's people, they walk much in darkness. They do not understand the Lord's dealings with them. And they're journeying much by night. Well, there are those, and the Lord's people will testify to this, like those in the psalm. They that sit in darkness, in the shadow of death. Why? Because they rebelled against the words of God, contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labour. They fell down, and there was none to help. You see, the Lord will keep his people low. They're yet in the body of sin and death. Oh, and it militates against them. They have to struggle with it. There's great conflict within. And they come back into darkness. Saul of Tarsus in later days, how he was still calling himself the chief of sinners. How he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Well, there's a great need, as we sometimes see, to Calvary fly as oft as sin defiles. There's a need again of light to shine from heaven. Why? The Lord brings his people into darkness as they journey. They might know more what's in their heart. For the work of conviction of sin is an ongoing work. It's not, as it were, a one-off work at the beginning. If I know anything of it. Indeed, it seems to increase as we journey on. And we seem to be in darkness much because of our sin and the guilt which was within. And the hardness of our heart and the unbelief. Oh, what fightings we have within with unbelief. Well, we know that we've rebelled against God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. And we're brought again unto nothing. Down into the dust again. Down to feeling darkness. Travelling much by night. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Not till then. Not till again we get to that place where there is none to help. But then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. And brake their bands in sunder. Also, we deal with this very quickly. The Lord's dealings with his people. Sometimes there is darkness upon the way before us. We know not the way. Or there may be a promise that has been given to us, yet unfulfilled, And indeed, the things that happen since the promise has been given seem to indicate they never will be fulfilled. It seems utterly impossible. And how much travelling by night there is. But the Lord is pleased to make his promises precious. Why? When all comes against them. When it's utter darkness and there's none to help. He will fulfil his word. Hath he said and shall he not do it? There will be a point as you journey. You come near to Damascus and suddenly there shall shine round about you a light from heaven. And then you'll see what he did. Thou knowest not then, but thou shalt know hereafter. Then thou shalt prove that all things work together for good for them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. In that trying dispensation, in that affliction, in that closed door, in that way that's hedged up, in that loss. It was a learning of Christ. And now light has shone upon the pathway. And you've seen why he withheld his hand at that time, that he might make it more manifest later. Just touch on that. Then last of all, as they journey, they'll come to their end. And suddenly there will light shine. Oh, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, there you shall be also. This wilderness is a wilderness. It is a valley. It is a dark place. Much darkness. But there eternal light abides. And suddenly, as it were, for the Lord's people, when they close their eyes on all here below, suddenly at the point, at the place where he has decreed, he will translate them out of this lower world and translate them into eternal glory. Oh, they need no sun there, neither light of the moon, no candle. For the Lord himself is their light of that place. He shines to all eternity there. Oh, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And they shall see his face and never, never sin. And from the rivers of his grace they shall drink endless pleasures in. Suddenly, a light from heaven. Oh, the Lord grant to us a gracious prospect to see the King in his beauty, the Lamb which is afar off, to be like those who have gone before us, pilgrims and strangers in the earth. They live by faith, they die by faith, and have entered into the promises. Oh, now, compassed about with so many, a greater cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, may this light shine upon us each, call sinners from darkness unto light, shine light upon our pathway in all his dealings with us, and bring us unto that eternal light at last, to be with him for ever, which is far better. The Lord forgive what we've spoken so feebly, and make up our failings.